So, M. Patchwork Monoceros is a polydisciplinary artist and writer exploring multisensory production as access and somatic grief through poetry, textiles, and film. Their work considers a collective CRIP, QRIP, queer and CRIP, consciousness by connecting to marvelous bodies living with complexity as sick or disabled. A Black, genderqueer, chronically ill creator of Jamaican ancestry, Monoceros lives with their four-legged family in Treaty One territory, also known as Winnipeg, Manitoba, traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Dene, Cree, Dakota, and Oji-Cree nations, and home of the Métis First Nation. Welcome, Patch.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you, Angeline. Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be able to see faces, which isn't always the case with virtual things. So thank you. I wanted to give a visual description if there's anyone that needs it. So I am a like small, fat, black person. I have dark green glasses on and like a turquoise crocheted hat scenario. The wall behind me is burgundy. There's a hand quilted quilt as well as a small Palestinian flag. I'm wearing polka dots and stripes, and I have lots of jewelry on my face and head. That's what I look like. I'm really excited to be able to be here for all sorts of reasons. If you are someone who's like in my life, in my context, you might know that I really like crows and ravens. Like a lot. Really like crows and ravens. And so getting to share my words that speak in crow feels very special. And I'm going to be reading tonight from my book, Remedies for Chiron, from Radiant Press. And we'll get to that in a second, but I wanted to offer a poem that isn't, and that just to start us off because it's thematic, and there we are. Okay, so thank you. Ravensong makes me cry. Unspecific reference to ideation, transphobia, and trauma. Ravensong makes me cry. Crow calls make me smile. Blue jay chirps make me squint and search. Sparrow cheeps make my tummy flutter, but Ravensong makes me cry. The birds only care that I show up, how I show up, generously, cautiously, not who I show up as. The birds do not need to know my pronouns. The birds are not gendered to me. The little ones are the most social diners. The blue jays often come solo, but have been seen in a pair. The crovins, the crows and the ravens, they intermingle. They're standing. They wait their turn. Other times, they're adding their little onyx beaks to the feeding frenzy. These visiting corvids give me witness. On days when the caws arrive at my window before the awakeness of the day does, I consider it a positive portent. My eyes still closed, I channel and trust the auditory oracle. The of their silken wings, whooshing overhead during gardening season envelops me in a private witchy rapture. Trailing along rooftops, hydro posts, their calls in the periphery silhouette of their diving, hopping, airtight forms accompany me in my wheels when I errand out of the house. They recognize me for me, regardless of whatever gender affirming or obscuring outdoor armor I am wearing that day. They do not pass judgment on the dozens of days in a row I remain housebound. When my cerebral specters broadcast images of perpetual isolation or expiring without human observation, or my collapsed body providing the last meal I can offer my beasts, I imagine the menagerie, the tap, 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 tap of their inquisitive beaks, worrying the locks of my door. The dragon skin claws pressing the handle, shedding loose feathers as they flock across the transom of my doorway, bringing bird magic in a spectacle elaborate enough to catch the passing glance or possible rescue of a neighbor. The more regular my offerings, the more frequent their visits have become. the more encouraged they feel to safely crack into the unshelled peanuts while still here. They used to, and still do, gather as much as their craw could carry and then swoop over to the rooftop behind me to enjoy their feast. I tried to get away with not giving them the peanuts because it's messy and invites other less respectful guests, and I perhaps unnecessarily worry that them dropping peanut shells and other bits all over the lane and the roadway could be dangerous to a neighbor with an allergy. My therapist continues to ask why I'm constantly concerned with the hypothetical emotions of others before my own. The answer, I assume, is trauma, but I am not certain. I'll get back to you, I say. First, let me take it to the birds. I love my raven friends. Chiron, an asteroid orbiting between Saturn and Uranus, is classified in myth and astrology as the wounded healer. Their astrological glyph is an inverted key, suggesting that within our deepest wounds lie the key to our deepest strength. Chiron shows us that our individual wounds can find refuge and rest through the salves of collective healing. Charm Torres, astrologer. A content note for my reading, the following poems contain references or descriptions of racism, ableism, self-harm, sex or sexual violence, police violence, childhood and medical trauma, death, dying, substance and alcohol use, and mental illness. Please listen and watch gently and take the care that you need. Untitled Fascia. Thick paint, layers of anguish accumulate upon themselves in the fibers of my fascia. All of my parts attached to the nerves have bowed to their demise from distress. Today, encompassing sensations sit or stand or lie down or lean or bend or breathe or reach or stretch or turn or blink or move or not move or breathe or breathe. The joints and tendons in my hands and my feet feel both softly swollen and stiff with crackling cartilage. I resent every mandatory moment of movement I cannot avoid today. Injury, illness, impact. 3 to 5 drops of silence, broken into truth, take as needed. Seeking Afrotopia. Things that are hard. Living with someone who hates you. Every day, often multiple times, you are assured that there is something so abhorrent about your very existence that the person you share space with is compelled to avoid you in any way. Every time your body nears theirs, your movement creates noise or your presence is detected, their scoff, grimace, recoil, heralds you as a villain. Villains who don't deserve to have their side heard. Villains' needs don't deserve to be cared for. Villains are selfish and don't deserve anything they want. Living with someone who hates you is hard because the fragility of silence depends on soundproofing made of ash and disturbed by a breath or a footstep. Living with someone who hates you is hard because their skillful front-facing masquerade assures an omission of outside observation. With every scowl on the staircase or reassertion of object ownership, you're reminded that you are not trustworthy. Every time a mug, a sweater, a snack of theirs appears to be missing. Every time a cupboard, shelf, appliance that was once shared becomes separate, you're told you make them feel unsafe. Because no matter your efforts to ghostly float around the periphery of their perception, even when you stop making tea and toast, smoothies, any meals needing more than one pot, because you're afraid of forgetting a cup or a fork or a crumpled wrapper behind, of being too ill or worn out to tidy right away, even when you start bringing the takeout directly to your basement room, always asking for extra cutlery despite the roach odor still off-gassing from your recent infestation and the anxiety that ignites. Even when you push through to do chores that have never fit your capacity, when you carry hefts up and downstairs, vacuum multiple rooms and levels, use products that invite migraines and cognitive breakdowns. Even when you start losing weight because you spend more time retracted into yourself, listening for what mood the tone of their footsteps implies. Then you do thinking about eating, making any sound, including chewing, begins to feel dangerous and antagonistic. Even when you start pulling out your hair, plucking each one out at the root, running your fingers over the smoothness left behind, leaving piles of perfectly kinked curls on your pillow. Even when there is so little of you to notice, one glint of eye contact, either wayward or intentional, one meekly raised concern or boundary dissolves the masterfully renegotiated terms of your will to live. You are horrific. You're so horrific, I don't want your fork on my plate, much less your almond milk next to my half and half. You're so horrific, I am repulsed by even the echo of your corporeal proximity. When you're so small, the indent on your pillow becomes the only proof of your personhood. That I get to move out in a month and year when I'm grown. That I am loved, maybe missed, by my cats, by my friends, by my other relatives. That we're both black, that it's my house too, that they asked me to live here, that they told me to grow up here. None of this matters. Because when you live with someone who hates you, every minute is performance to placate their hatred. Every hour is a mirror showing the reflection of the parts of you they'll never want. Every day you wonder what happens if your tolerance peaks, but you still can't leave. Every night you go to bed, uncertain if the person in the next room would carry you to safety in case of a fire. Every morning you utter under your breath, thanks to the universe that you made it through another sleep. Without your body being left to burn. Thank you. I wanted to dedicate that last piece to Palestine and Sudan and the Congo and so many nations that are facing extradition of their rights and their humanity right now. And I'm offering poetry, so thank you for holding space. And I hope they don't have to live with people that hate them anymore. Looking up with feet on ground. One. Perpetually preparing for takeoff, our authentic agricultural architecture slides up the cityscape, drops into an emerald jigsaw, pushing ether between cumulus bunnies, those possible veracities dissolve. If I pack all my luggage, leave behind all my baggage, will I land as a different me? Two. Our authentic agricultural architecture slides up the cityscape, drops into an emerald jigsaw, floating with grounded feet, her earthenware awareness dissolves. Pushing the ether between cumulus bunnies, those possible veracities exchange their known ethnicities for a seat number. If I pack all my luggage, leave behind all my baggage, will I land as a different me? Three. Slide up the cityscape. Reach a soaring altitude and drop into an emerald jigsaw. Floating with grounded feet, earthen awareness dissolves. Neighbor, a stranger, fell through an air pocket. Into a landscape anew. Pushing the ether between cumulus bunnies, those possible veracities exchange their own ethnicities, their owned ethnicities for a number. Next, please. Forgot to pack my luggage, left behind all my baggage. I land as a different me. Two. Wound, weakness, worry. Boil one cup of fresh tears. Add dry leaves of the family tree, steep for one lifetime, drink. Bloodletting. Sprinkle three handfuls, brick red sand from the homeland, on sheets at night. Sleep. Scab, pick, scab. Gather seeds of promise. Chew one for each broken vow. Water to germinate. Scar, heal, grow. Untether soul strings. Stretch fingers, toes, mouth, eyes. Scream and breathe. Scream and breathe. Scream and breathe. Repeat. Crip love. Q-R-I-P love. I heard about it. I heard about it whispered in Wi-Fi walls, that ethereal spark that comes from the secret satisfaction of crip love. Nice to meet you. How many languages do I speak these words? N, T, M, Y? Slap hands together. Number one handshake together. Point. Inhale. Sip. Smudge. Exhale. Purple roots. Soft leaves. Cut above ground. Lay in boiled water. Not boiling. Be gentle with the fronds. This leaf grows this way. Here, but not there. What does the medicine look like where you grow? Washed lightly in soft smoke healing, my meditation glitches to the photo of a brightly lit white, blonde, and blue woman. Smile stretched across her colonizing face. Her caption shouts the anticipation for her new book. Herbal healing wands, healing wands. Smudging rituals, it's called. White people are so skilled at ruin. At home, I open the door to the lazy sweetness. Lazy, hazy sweetness of sandalwood. My dead mom's favorite, so says her last living bestie. In the after swallow of this tea, sage and sweetgrass, an earthy tang recalls sarissa and senna to my tongue, a nervine bitterness. Dark, jewel-toned elixir, more malachite than emerald, a darkness rich and tonic and temporality. So many stories to undo. I'll just share a couple more. The M word. Sometimes just writing or reading the word mother. A throbbing between my ears. Sudden void replaces the ground beneath me. Even with no further discussion of meaning or representation, the word just lay there on the page, six Anglo-assembled letters, swell my throat and sting my eyes. Falls across the screen, the page, the air just beyond my lips. Mother, I utter, contribute to my own flagellation. Sing song, the first time I remember hearing your voice. I was lying on the ultramarine blue carpet of my grandmother's living room. The second time I remember hearing her voice, I was lying in bed with one of your sisters, talking, laughing, storytelling, literal lifetimes of new to each other knowledge. She said my name and I heard you. The third time I remember hearing her voice, I was lying in my bed with my cats. I called to them. Come here, he said. And lastly, at rest, for my granny, for all the grannies, for you, rest is important. They lay still, quiet, remembering each life they had lived, had warmed with honey throughout their earth lifetime. The crystalline obsidian sand shifted gently underneath. Their body, warm licks of salt water flicked their ankles. Just beyond the opening of the hollow where they awaited their transition, a leaping ring of fire kept company with their long legacy of kin, come to make offerings for their journey. Skin thin, soft and cascading upon itself from age and ascendance, All around their body, beasts and creatures of all sorts cushioned the aged frame in gratitude for the care received and in support of their coming path. A pack of spirits and guides connected with them since before their earth birth, who will remain after their ancestor ascendance at their most boundless, most deliberate, most intentional, most cared for, most whole self, transformed into stardust, particles disperse on a slumbering sigh, whispers soaring away on the wind, atoms rising into ancestor. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patch.